Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, let's get ready to rumble!
Schools train people to be ignorant with style. They give you the equipment that you need to be a functional ignoramus. American schools do not equip you to deal with things like logic. They don't give you the criteria by which to judge between good and bad in any medium or format. And they prepare you to be a usable victim for a military-industrial complex that needs manpower. As long as you're just smart enough to do a job and just dumb enough to swallow what they feed you, you're going to be all right. But if you go beyond that, you're going to have these grave doubts that give you stomach problems, headaches, make you want to go out and do something else. So I believe that schools mechanically and very specifically try and breed out any hint of creative thought.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
We're going to stay here all night if we have to, so let's get started.
Can I go when this starts to suck?
You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of sound. A dimension of sight. A dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into...
Curious new promotional campaign from Wendy's is offering 5 free hamburgers, no questions asked, from now until the foreseeable future. The popular fast food chain is reportedly allowing all customers to pick up complimentary hamburgers whenever they want, without having to buy other products or use a coupon of any kind. Now, according to Wendy's CEO Emil Brolik, quote, "What's the big deal? We're giving away hamburgers. That's all you need to know." Wendy's has already started rolling out billboards and TV spots advertising the suspicious discount.
What do you guys want to do for lunch?
We could go to Wendy's and get 5 free hamburgers each. They're practically giving them away.
Giving them away? Why would they do that?
Who cares?
When asked if they'll be giving away any other food for free, Brolik reportedly said, quote, "5 hamburgers isn't enough. Okay, 10 hamburgers."
For over 125 years, we've been bringing people together. Today, we'd like to come together on something that concerns all of us, obesity. The long-term health of our families and the country are at stake. And as the nation's leading beverage company, we have played an important role. Across our portfolio of over 650 beverages, we now offer 180 low and no-calorie choices. These diet beverages still pose serious health risks. Even though we've reduced the calories per serving, these beverages can still cause kidney problems, obesity, metabolic syndrome, cell damage, and rotting teeth, which leaves 470 beverages, which have extremely high, unhealthy levels of calories. Consuming large amounts of rapidly digested sugar and high fructose corn syrup causes a spike in blood sugar and insulin, which can lead to inflammation and insulin resistance, both of which may increase your risk of stroke, heart disease, diabetes, obesity, and cancer. Coke has also been known to accelerate aging and cause high cholesterol. The American Heart Association recommends consuming no more than 450 calories from sugar-sweetened beverages per week. The amount in about 3 cans of soda. Imagine if cigarette companies said they were doing something responsible to protect you. How would you react to that? Beating obesity will take action by all of us, based on one simple, common sense fact. All calories are not the same, and the calories in Coca-Cola products have no nutritional value. If you choose to live a healthy lifestyle, then you should not be drinking any of our products. If you drink Coke, you'll get fatter and fatter. The solution is simple, and it's right in front of your eyes. Don't drink Coke. It's killing you and your family. Coca-Cola. We're partially responsible for America's obesity problem.
If you ever go down to
dad. They make you feel so very glad. Calypso sing and make a rhyme. Guarantee you one real good fine time. Drink some rum and Coca-Cola. Go down on Kumana. Both mother and daughter are working for the Yankee dollar. Oh, it's a fact, Ma. It's a fact. I'm chicka chick carried to Mona's Isle. Native girls all dance and smile. Help soldier celebrate his leave. I make every day like New Year's Eve.
Well, put the sugar in your own coffee. That is the message New York businesses are sending to customers ahead of the city's sugary soda ban. Tuesday signals the end of drinks larger than 20 ounces in the Big Apple. Dunkin' Donuts is telling its customers they'll have to sweeten and flavor their own drinks. Other businesses are striking larger servings from their menus. The city is giving restaurants a three-month grace period. Then they'll start ticketing offenders.
Drinks and rum and Coca-Cola. Go down Point Kumana. Both mother and daughter working for the Yankee dollar. Oh, you vex me, you vex me. In old Trinidad I also fear the situation is mighty queer. Like the Yankee girl, the native swoon when she hears your big old croon. Drinking rum and Coca-Cola. Go down Point Kumana. Both mother and daughter working for the Yankee dollar. Oh, it's a fact, Mom, it's a fact. Out on Manzanella Beach, G.I. romance with Native Peach. All night long make tropic love, the next day sit in hot sun and cool off.
Caffeine may be good for more than just a pick-me-up. Researchers at Newcastle University found the drug improved memory in honeybees. That, in turn, can lead to better plant pollination. The scientists say bees trained to pollinate caffeinated flowers return to those plants three times as often as a normal plant.
Drinking rum and Coca-Cola. Go down Point Kumana. Both mother and daughter working for the Yankee dollar. Drinking rum and Coca-Cola. Rum and Coca-Cola. Work.
The U.S. attorney announces indictments today for six people involved in a multi-state prostitution ring. Investigators say they operated a web of apartments that were used as brothels. According to the indictments, the group advertised massage services from Asian women on Backpage.com. They allegedly had locations in Bellevue, Kirkland, Chicago, Arizona, and Virginia. Some of the defendants will be in court, we understand, this afternoon.
Working for the
Obama exercised his presidential clemency powers last Friday, issuing pardons to 17 incarcerated felons, including Vice President Joe Biden, who had gotten himself locked up for the third time this year. After being arrested last week for what the vice president described as a bunch of trumped-up mail fraud bullshit, Biden reportedly made a 3 a.m. collect call to the White House on the prison payphone, telling the president, quote, "Uncle Joe f***ed up bad. I need you to use some of that sweet black magic of yours." This is just the latest example of the president using executive privileges to extricate Joe Biden from Washington area jails, having expunged the vice president of grand larceny charges just last month when D.C. police caught Mr. Biden selling stolen car parts out of his Camp David chop shop. A number of Republicans are calling these pardons a federal overreach, to which Obama responded, quote, "All of those pardoned have shown real remorse for their crimes. That includes Joe Biden, who assures me this was the wake-up call he needed."
There are white folks, and then there are ignorant motherfuckers like like you.
President Obama was reportedly less easygoing with the vice president behind the scenes, driving from jail to an all-night diner where the two ate breakfast without speaking. However, White House sources have confirmed that the president will be loaning Biden $13,000 to help him get his new import business off the ground.
Started from the bottom, now we here. Started from the bottom, now my whole team here. Yeah, we started from the bottom, now we here. Started from the bottom, now the whole team up in here. Started from the bottom, now we here. Started from the bottom, now my whole team here. Yeah, we started from the bottom, now we here. Started from the bottom, now the whole team up in here. Funny how it happens, how it goes. High up in the world, but remembering the lows. Thinking used to dip dillies for some dough. Now I made a couple mil from a couple videos, and I'm betting on myself to make it through. I didn't rap last year, learned it as I flew. Check it, all the other labels tried it too. Signed a couple copycats, copying my hairdo.
Civilians in the Syrian city of Aleppo say hunger is the latest threat to their survival, as clashes continue in districts controlled by the rebels against President Bashar al-Assad. Dire conditions in the city have affected the supply of fuel, which bakeries need to run. However, one bakery is still working and produces around 1,000 kilograms of bread every single day. Its location has been kept a secret because bakeries have become targets of government shelling in the past. The bakery, situated in an area now controlled by the Free Syrian Army, is kept running by the FSA to help local people survive, according to a local resident.
Yes, sir.
Free Army.
Free Army. Pay for all.
Yeah.
Okay, so Free Army help you for...
For surviving,
for
yeah.
Surviving.
Not all of the people of Syria's biggest city hold President Assad responsible for the suffering. Aleppo's loyalties have typically been divided. Some people have had enough of the daily shortages of food and blame them on the president's opponents.
Started from the bottom, now we here. Started from the bottom, now my whole team here. Yeah, we started from the bottom, now we here. Started from the bottom, now the whole team up in here. Started from the bottom, now we here. Started from the bottom, now my whole team here. Yeah, we started from the bottom, now we here. Started from the bottom, now the whole team up in here. Nah, I ain't happy seeing how it is. Stop all the comparing me, no Nicki Minajerie. Let me out the cage so I can fizz. Cause all the femininity's looking for a rapper queen. Banking on Azalea and Iggy. Pretty damn amazing what you do to be a star, yeah. Rolling Stone dude gave us one. Hope you didn't notice when they put us on the cover, son.
Finally tonight here, everyone looking to save some money on gas. And so when we heard of the car that runs on air, we just had to send our correspondent to check it out. ABC's Nick Schifrin tonight, running on empty.
It may seem hard to believe, but this rust bucket could be the car of the future.
So when I look in here, I see a garbage can.
Yeah. That's correct, yeah.
I see a piece of wood, and I see some random string. I mean, this is totally homemade, right?
It is, yes.
Oops. Meet inventor Peter Dierman. His car needs no gas, no batteries, only air.
Have you ever seen Back to the Future?
Oh, yes, yeah.
I need fuel. Go ahead, quick, get in the car.
I should really have different hair.
What emissions will this car produce?
It won't actually produce any emissions because it's only air that we're using. We're not burning anything.
Here's how it works. When you cool air to minus 300 degrees, it becomes a liquid. If you warm the liquid with the help of antifreeze, it expands back into a gas, powering the car's motor.
Started from the bottom, now we here. Started from the bottom, now my whole team here. Yeah, we started from the bottom, now we here. Started from the bottom, now the whole team up in here. Feeling too soft where my heart's at. Came too far to be cute about it. I don't wanna do any complaining, but we did SNL with no music out yet. Feeling too soft where my heart's at. Came too far to be cute about it. I don't wanna do any complaining, but ask me how it was to get pimp slapped by Paul McCartney, yeah. Started from the bottom, now we here. Started from the bottom, now my whole team here. Yeah, we started from the bottom, now we here. whole team here. Yeah, we started from the bottom, now we here. Started from the bottom, now the whole team up in here.
TV interview since losing the 2012 presidential election, Mitt Romney told Fox News that he blames the loss on his ability to successfully convey his message to minority voters. The former GOP candidate reflected on the hard-fought campaign, saying, quote, "At the end of the day, we just articulated our intentions clearly and concisely to millions of African Americans and Latinos across the country. That was our downfall." Romney went on to explain that he felt confident in the weeks leading up to the election and was shocked to discover he struggled with minority voters. Quote, "I just flat out failed at shielding those people from my policies. I really feel that if I had been more secretive or vague about what I truly believe, I might be in the White House today." The former governor said he plans to serve in an advisory role for the GOP in 2016, helping the party get back to their core strategy of confusing minorities into misinterpreting the Republican message as something that might be positive for them.
"I'm tired of Barack Obama and Mitt Romney."
"That's why you're crying?"
"If you look at this moment and you sort of do the diagnostics or the postmortem on the Romney campaign, if you look at 2016, 2020, what are some of the other things that a Republican Party needs to stand for to appeal to more people?"
I wish Mitt Romney was president right now, because I think we'd have someone who would be in the midst of trying to forge consensus. It breaks my heart that he's not there. He's a good man, and he didn't run, his campaign wasn't the best, but he would have been a really fine president. I think going forward, we have to deal with our longer structural problems. The biggest one, as far as I'm concerned, is that we're no longer socially mobile as a country. You have people that are born poor, and there's a higher and higher probability they're going to stay poor, and you have people that are born rich, and there's a greater probability
they'll
they're going to stay rich. It's just, it is so un-American, and yet none of the conversation and the debates are really about this, but upward mobility is the chance to solve a lot of problems, because then people don't default to, out of fear or exasperation, get in line, basically. If they feel like life isn't fair to them, that they can't succeed, it's only the big interests that can succeed, big government, right, big business and all that, then they default to something that is looks a little bit more like Europe.
"I'm tired of Barack Obama and Mitt Romney."
"That's why you're crying?"
Everybody agrees, Paul, this is not the best way of cutting spending, across the board meat cleaver kind of cutting spending. They would like to do it with a scalpel, a much more intelligent way, but they haven't been able to come up with a deal.
Right. And I, with all due respect to Mr. Romney, he ain't the solution. And I'm glad it's killing him. I'm glad. Because, it's killing the middle class. And, at least he's suffering a little psychic pain. As it's killing him, as he said in that incredibly selfish statement we just saw, he was sitting in a $12 million mansion that he bought for cash, Wolf. And now you know what he's going to do? He's going to tear that mansion down, build one four times bigger with an elevator for his car, and yet he only pays a 14% tax rate. That's killing me. That's killing the American middle class. That's what he ought to be talking about. He should have stood up yesterday and said, look, we are in a world of hurt. This sequester is bad. Wealthy people like me should not use this Romney rule loophole, by which they only pay 14% on a $20 million income. That's what he should have said. He could have really helped his country by stepping up.
He's not doing anything illegal. Yeah. That's the law.
Absolutely.
The investment law. Income, that's
absolutely
what you pay.
Absolutely.
But he doesn't have a salary.
Absolutely.
If he had a salary, he'd be paying 39%.
Exactly. So if he were a waiter, he would be paying a higher tax rate than the 14% that he's paying as a multimillionaire. Perfectly legally, but it's an outrage.
Right.
And it's killing me.
It's
killing me.
"I'm tired of Barack Obama and Mitt Romney."
"That's why you're crying?"
There's a chart I saw recently that I can't get out of my head. A Harvard business professor and economist asked more than 5,000 Americans how they thought wealth was distributed in the United States. This is what they said they thought it was. Dividing the country into five rough groups of the top, bottom, and middle three 20% groups, they asked people how they thought the wealth in this country was divided. Then he asked them what they thought was the ideal distribution, and 92%, that's at least 9 out of 10 of them, said it should be more like this. In other words, more equitable than they think it is. Now that fact is telling, admittedly, the notion that most Americans know that the system is already skewed unfairly. But what's most interesting to me is the reality compared to our perception. The ideal is as far removed from our perception of reality as the actual distribution is from what we think exists in this country. So ignore the ideal for a moment. Here's what we think it is again. And here is the actual distribution. Shockingly skewed. Not only do the bottom 20% and the next 20%, the bottom 40% of Americans barely have any of the wealth. I mean, it's hard to even see them on the chart. But the top 1% has more of the country's wealth than 9 out of 10 Americans believe the entire top 20% should have. Mind-blowing. But let's look at it another way, because I find this chart kind of difficult to wrap my head around. Instead, let's reduce the 311 million Americans to just a representative 100 people. Make it simple. Here they are. Teachers, coaches, firefighters, construction workers, engineers, doctors, lawyers, some investment bankers, a CEO, maybe a celebrity or two. Now let's line them up according to their wealth. Poorest people on the left, wealthiest on the right, just a steady row of folks based on their net worth. We'll color code them like we did before based on which 20% quintile they fall into. Now let's reduce the total wealth of the United States, which was roughly $54 trillion in 2009, to this symbolic pile of cash. And let's distribute it among our 100 Americans. Well, here's socialism, all the wealth of the country distributed equally. We all know that won't work. We need to encourage people to work and work hard to achieve that good old American dream and keep our country moving forward. So, here's that ideal we asked everyone about. Something like this curve. This isn't too bad. We've got some incentive, as the wealthiest folks are now about 10 to 20 times better off than the poorest Americans. But hey, even the poor folks aren't actually poor, since the poverty line has stayed almost entirely off the chart. We have a super healthy middle class with a smooth transition into wealth. And yes, Republicans and Democrats alike chose this curve. 9 out of 10 people, 92%, said this was a nice, ideal distribution of America's wealth. But let's move on. This is what people think America's wealth distribution actually looks like. Not as equitable, clearly, but for me, even this still looks pretty great. Yes, the poorest 20 to 30% are starting to suffer quite a lot compared to the ideal, and the middle class is certainly struggling more than they were, while the rich and wealthy are making roughly 100 times that of the poorest Americans, and about 10 times that of the still healthy middle class. Sadly, this isn't even close to the reality. Here is the actual distribution of wealth in America. The poorest Americans don't even register. They're down to pocket change. And the middle class is barely distinguishable from the poor. In fact, even the rich between the top 10 and 20 percentile are worse off. Only the top 10% are better off. And how much better off? So much better off that the top 2 to 5% are actually off the chart at this scale. And the top 1%, this guy, well, his stack of money stretches 10 times higher than we can show. Here's his stack of cash, restacked, all by itself. This is the top 1% we've been hearing so much about. So much green in his pockets that I have to give him a whole new column of his own, because he won't fit on my chart. 1% of America has 40% of all the nation's wealth. The bottom 80%, 8 out of every 10 people, or 80 out of these 100, only has 7% between them. And this has only gotten worse in the last 20 to 30 years. While the richest 1% take home almost a quarter of the national income today, in 1976, they took home only 9%, meaning their share of income has nearly tripled in the last 30 years. The top 1% own half the country's stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. The bottom 50% of Americans own only 0.5% of these investments, which means they aren't investing. They're just scraping by. I'm sure many of these wealthy people have worked very hard for their money, But do you really believe that the CEO is working 380 times harder than his average employee? Not his lowest paid employee, not the janitor, but the average earner in his company. The average worker needs to work more than a month to earn what the CEO makes in 1 hour. We certainly don't have to go all the way to socialism to find something that is fair for hardworking Americans. We don't even have to achieve what most of us consider might be ideal. All we need to do is wake up and realize that the reality in this country is not at all what we think it is.
We have another change from Washington tonight, sure to provoke a big reaction. It is day two after the big budget cuts, and the White House says they are going to save money by canceling White House tours.
We regret to inform that White House tours will be canceled effective Saturday, March 9th, 2013, until further notice.
The White House says they no longer have the staff to supervise the tours, just as spring break with a tidal wave of tourists draws near.
Thomas Jefferson said, if you expect a country to be ignorant and free, you expect what never was and never will be.
They wrote the first chapter of America's Amazing Story, our founding fathers, of course, and today is Founding Fathers Friday.
Joining us now to celebrate, you recognize him, third president of the United States and one of our country's founding fathers, Thomas Jefferson. Nice to see you, Mr. President.
Well, welcome. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Nice to have you as well. Even though you were one of the very first presidents of the United States, as you remember, you were a budget cutter, weren't you?
Well, I was. I believe that government needs to be simple and frugal. And when I became president in 1801, I inherited a debt of $83 million. When I left the presidency 8 years later, I'd reduced that $33 million.
That's right.
We are not only being irresponsible, but stealing from posterity. A posterity that we paid a great price to purchase liberty for that it seems that we're giving away.
I know that you've never seen a number that big that we just showed on the screen. That's something that's been created since you've passed.
Well, in the Declaration of Independence, which I hope all Americans have read, says that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created and are endowed by their Creator. Those who founded this nation held to a set of truths. We believe there was truth.
When you look at maybe the modern American Tea Party, you look at these movements in the country to try to simplify government, what do you think? Does it harken back to your time?
Well, not only did I cut the deficit, but I also reduced the size of government.
Well, on this Founding Fathers Friday, we thank you, Thomas Jefferson.
For another President Bush.
Jeb Bush has a new book out.
Dear Lord, all right.
His position on immigration, which some people say he has changed.
What is the position on immigration again? There have been a lot of them in the last couple of days.
He supported a pathway to citizenship.
But now because Marco Rubio does, he doesn't.
Now he's talking more about a pathway to residency.
I have supported both.
Left to right, to left to right.
Bold flip-flop.
He starts to look like Mitt Romney.
Let's wait for a few minutes and see how Jeb Bush changes his mind.
You cannot sustain a message of
of being against things. You have to be for things.
People are picking up on that.
Former Romney advisor who takes a shot at you for changing your position. Where the hell was this Jeb Bush during the campaign?
Geez, if he wasn't for a path to citizenship, why didn't he say that more loudly for us?
He spent all this time criticizing Mitt Romney, and it turns out he basically has the same position.
First of all, I wish Mitt Romney was president right now.
You know, for a guy as good as he could have been as president.
It breaks my heart that he's not there.
And I wish he was president of the United States today.
He would have been a really fine president.
I mean, you know.
Is he just pushing a book, or is this teeing himself up for the next presidential race?
Well, what do you think?
2016, 2020, 2016.
Bush 41, Bush 43, Bush 45?
Not so fast, Chemo Savvy.
He is a Bush, and that's going to be a problem.
I've decided not to think about it for a while.
Not to worry about it, not to think about it. This is way too early to be making those kind of decisions.
I'm not saying yes. I'm just not saying no.
Chavez, you know, died.
Chavez is dead if you're looking for him.
Mixed reaction pouring in from around the globe.
Glad to see Hugh go.
Throngs of people sad to see the loss of Hugo Chavez.
I don't miss him.
Yeah, Jimmy Carter misses him. Sean Penn misses him. Oliver Stone misses him.
The United States reaffirms its support for the Venezuelan people.
How many vowels are in Chavez?
We're going to find out.
Many of the poor in this area are expected to be out there getting a glimpse of the president.
Obviously, he was authoritarian and a dictator in some regards, but there are people inside that country who feel he was looked out for their best interests in a way that no one before had.
Well, hated by the entrenched classes, Hugo Chavez will live forever in history.
Hugo Chavez, we'll have more of that in a moment, but we'll begin with the story. It's got people across the country nervously eyeing the skies, and with good reason.
Snow, snow, snow.
Did a little snow on the ground?
It's a snow quester.
The snow quester?
Snow quester.
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 Snowmaster.
That's so sad.
It's like they've never seen snow before.
Boom. Big snow.
Thick, wet snow that melts.
It's really not sticking to the ground all that much. It's pretty warm out here.
I'm just going to call it yucky.
Our producer holding a snowball and about to hit me with it. Well,
this is the Arctic tundra here.
So much snow that you might not be able to Twitter.
Make it on Twitter.
You see here, it just sort of ah.
You need goggles or something.
Or a stocking mask.
You know, Washington shuts down when you talk about snow. Frankly, they really haven't gotten all that much, but even a little bit's a lot in that town.
Can't get rid of me that easy, face it, you're a freak of a woman.
forgive Rand Paul if he doesn't have much to say today. He did a lot of talking yesterday.
I will speak until I can no longer speak.
True political theater, but he made his point.
To be bombed in your sleep? There's nothing American about that.
The brave new world not that far away.
Calm down, Senator.
To my Republican colleagues, I don't remember any of you coming down here suggesting that President Bush was going to kill anybody with a drone.
Are you going to kill Americans in America who are not engaged in combat?
The answer to that question is no.
Hooray.
Quoting a modern day poet, his name is Wiz Khalifa.
Well, I'm not a great fan of Jane Fonda. Not so interested in putting her on a drone kill list either.
Wow, that's a freak show right there.
Drop a drone hellfire missile on Jane Fonda. Ridiculous. Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
You really think that the government might think that it can just shoot us at a cafe? No one thinks that.
Another modern day poet by the name of Jay-Z.
At 12 midnight, I finally dozed off in my soup.
He made many trips to a desk on the floor that's historically full of candy.
I was sneaking candy bars.
Snarfing on candy bars.
A Milky Way.
Delicious looking Milky Way bar. Delicious.
A Snickers bar.
An apple and some green tea.
The Milky Way's taste good, but you got to remember the nougat is stretchy. It's a little bit stretchy.
Yeah, look, there's the Milky Way.
There's the Milky Way.
I simply do not get it.
We've done a disservice to a lot of Americans by making them believe that somehow they're in danger from their government. They're not.
If that is a question in America today, we're done.
If Mr. Paul wants to be taken seriously, he needs to do more than pull political stunts that fire up impressionable libertarian kids in their college dorms.
You trying to transform me makes you my arch nemesis. I can only be me, nothing more, nothing less. Tattoos on my chest, rapping about selling sex. Yeah, I gotta scream, let it all out. Could be found dead from the words coming out my mouth. Ain't a gangster and never been a thug, but I've sold a little drugs and I'll tear up the club. Bite my nails to the nub, middle finger stay up. Two fucks for a slug and I'm still smoking. Bring me along, cause that girl hot. I bring the steam out your teapot, I am hip hop. Take me over, Lord Beauty, cause I am a beast. No matter what you say on the internet, I run a street. Yeah, I can only be me. Yeah, same old keys. Yeah, I can only be me. I can only be me. What you get is what you see. Yeah.
Do you believe the Post article
calls? I believe that he indeed is trying to flip Congress to make it Democratic. No question about that. Why would it be surprised that a Democratic president wants to have a Democratic president to work with?
At the expense of the folks?
But I don't think he's doing it because he doesn't want to help the country, or that he doesn't think what's best for the country would be to work with Congress.
Let's get specific rather than his BS, please. The president's willing to have Americans suffer for the greater good of trying to have Nancy Pelosi be the new Speaker of the House.
The Washington Post didn't talk about wanting the country to suffer. What it talked about was he wants to flip Congress.
But he won't compromise. He's making it did you read the Post article? He's making it impossible to reach accord with the Republicans.
But Bill, it's one thing to say he wants to flip the House. There's another thing to say he purposely wants the American people to suffer. I disagree with what's being said here. He's offered $2.50 in tax cuts for every dollar in tax increases.
That's not specific.
He's offered cuts in Medicare. He's offered cuts in entitlement.
No, that's not specific. He has to say, here are the programs that are going to go down. Here's how we're going to reform Medicare and Social Security. And the man refuses to
do
it.
Yes, it is. He's willing to cut these programs.
Hold it, because now I'm getting teed off of you. Give me one damn program he said he cut.
He has cut entitlements. He has cut
entitlements. One program.
What do you want to yell at?
Because you're lying.
I'm not lying.
You are lying.
Don't call me a liar. Don't you sit there and call me a liar.
No, you're lying.
I'm not lying.
Hey, here's the proof.
You don't like the president. You don't like what he's doing. But don't sit there and call me a liar.
I am. Give me one program.
Look, we can have a disagreement without you calling me a liar. That's not necessary.
No, you're lying.
That's not necessary.
You are lying.
I'm not lying. We have a disagreement. There's a difference between having a disagreement and calling me a liar. That's a personal attack.
This is why I'm calling you a liar. Give me one program he said he cut.
He would cut Medicare and Medicaid.
That's he offered cuts.
You asked me a program. Those are programs.
With a $17 trillion debt and refusing to say one program that he cut, you don't think that's putting a burden on the American
people?
What do you
call Medicare? I keep telling you.
No, you're not telling me anything. It's jack what you're saying. There's another word for it, but it's an obscenity.
We'll just have to disagree.
Right? No, it's not about a disagreement.
There would be less money going to the states. There would be less money reimbursed to doctors for Medicare.
He's
actually talked about cutting the reimbursement to doctors and hospitals.
This is just bull.
We're cutting reimbursements to doctors and hospitals.
You're wasting
our time. That's what he's talked about.
This is bull.
I'm answering your question. That's what he talked about.
A, you are idiots. B, the guns are loaded. And C, care to try me.
For tonight's F-Bomb, we're featuring a special episode of our selectively interviewed series, Meet the Press Reenactment Theater, an almost perfectly accurate recreation of a parody of a farce. To recreate this week's sequester conversation, I will play the role of House Speaker John Boehner, and the role of David Gregory will be played by TV's Frank.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to ask you some very tough questions, followed up by some very limp follow-ups.
David, we've known about this for 16 months, and there's no plan from the White House to replace the sequester.
But, Mr. Speaker, that's just not true. They've made it very clear the president has a plan.
Well, David, that's just nonsense. If they had a plan, why wouldn't Senate Democrats go ahead and pass it?
Well, this is where I should bring up how the Senate Democrats tried that and got filibustered, but instead I'm going to ask about revenue.
David, this president got $650 billion in higher taxes from the American people on January the 1st. How much more does he want?
But didn't the sequester happen because Republicans wouldn't raise the debt ceiling for President Obama?
Because spending is out of control and I was born in a tavern. This president spends like me at Georgetown Applebee's at happy hour.
This is where I'm not going to mention that you raised the debt ceiling seven times for George W. Bush.
Who? George what?
Sir, before I fold, aren't you the one who pushed the sequester through the House and bragged that you got 98% of what you wanted?
Oh, David, that's because this president doesn't have a plan, and I will show you on the doll how this president made me sequester.
At this point, I'm not going to mention the Republicans never complained about spending when George Bush was cutting taxes for millionaires and having two wars off the books.
David, I'm going to say a lot of angry words right now, so you'll change the subject, and Eric Cantor won't try to take my job.
But the president has a plan to avoid the sequester on the White House website.
Well, I haven't seen it.
Well, I have a copy of it right here.
Right where?
I'm holding it right in front of you.
David, I see a lot of words and White House talking points on a piece of paper that was probably on a printer that came out of China. China! You hear me? China!
Yeah.
Now, if you don't change the subject, I'm going to keep saying sequester.
Then I'm going to have to ask you some follow-up questions.
If you ask a follow-up question, I'm going to say the word Benghazi.
But, Mr. Speaker...
Benghazi! Benghazi!
But what good is my asking tough questions if you just filibuster and give me no actual information?
David, haven't you learned by now? You can have information or you can have access, but you can't have both. What's it going to be?
Well, in that case, I guess I'll settle for access.
Good boy. Now say both sides are equally to blame, David Gregory.
But doesn't it bother you that these cuts will hurt people?
Does it bother you I'm ignoring your follow-up?
Well, we'll be right back with a look at why both sides are equally to blame for the sequester.
Good. Now go get me a mimosa.
Con los terroristas. Now, I'm going to need everybody to take some shots back. Ladies, I'm going to need you to stick those backs out. And everybody belligerent.
Harlem shakes have hit the web in all different shapes and sizes in recent weeks, but Harlem shaking on a World War II memorial was a step too far for Russian police. They arrested five people for dancing on this tank and uploading the video to YouTube. If you've had a bag over your head for the past few weeks, like this guy, the Harlem Shake starts with a solo dancer who's joined by others when the bass drops. Props or funny locations are quite common too. The World War II memorial is roughly 1,300 miles east of Moscow. Those arrested told police they wanted to celebrate a friend who serves in the Russian army.
Shots back, ass out, palm shaking and cash out. Shots back, ass out, palm shaking and cash out. Shots back, ass out, palm shaking and cash out. Shots back, ass out, palm shaking and cash out.
Con los
More saber rattling from North Korea. North Korean newsreader insists the army are full of soaring anger and animosity against the United States. Basically, they're very cross.
Destroy American imperialist aggressors, the deadly enemy of North Korean people.
See? State TV showing footage of the North soldiers preparing to defend their homeland against the enemy that doesn't look like it's coming. It's tough to start a war if the other side won't even turn up. That's not stopped this soldier getting worked up.
If the aggressors dare to light the fuse, they will have the agony of a miserable destiny from that moment.
North Korea is threatening the United States with a nuclear strike, undeterred by its current inability to hit the U.S. mainland.
The stronghold of our enemy will be completely destroyed by our unlimited, righteous and retaliatory attack.
Pyongyang insisting it will join the exclusive nuclear club and make us all very sorry. Until then, it's just going to march around and get very, very mad.
Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez has died in hospital at the age of 58, ending 14 years of charismatic rule. The socialist leader, who had not been seen in public since last December, had been battling cancer for the past 2 years. He only recently returned from treatment in Cuba, but his condition became worse quickly. A critic of the US, Chavez was re-elected to a third term last October, but couldn't be sworn in due to his serious health problems. 7 days of mourning have been declared in Venezuela, where emotions are high. Vice President Nicolas Maduro has taken over from Chavez until an election, which will be called within 30 days. Chavez's body will lie in state until Friday, when his funeral will take place.
I must go on standing. You can't break that which is in yours, yours. I must go on standing. I'm not my own, it's not my choice.
Recently named oldest woman in the world, Misao Okawa, celebrated her 115th birthday in style on Tuesday. Okawa, who was born in 1898, was officially recognised as the oldest woman alive by the Guinness World Records last week. Celebrating the special day in her nursing home, with the local media spotlight firmly focused on her, Okawa tucked into birthday cake with staff and friends.
Be afraid of the lame, they'll inherit your legs. Be afraid of the old, they'll inherit your souls. Be afraid of the cold, they'll inherit your blood.
Up from Waterloo.
Research suggests the shelf life of donated blood may be shorter than once thought.
That's according to a new study from Johns Hopkins University. Researchers say they found red blood cells stored for over 3 weeks begin to lose flexibility and can no longer squeeze through small capillaries to deliver oxygen. Right now, blood banks consider 6 weeks as the standard storage time. Researchers say the diminished quality of blood after 3 weeks was not reversible and appeared to be permanent. More studies are underway to determine the relative safety of older versus newer blood, but experts warn that blood banks may need to be prepared to change their storage time limits.
We often hear these days about the power of positive thinking. Usually this focuses on what it can do for the individual. But now a Russian scientist says it can also benefit the world around us. RT's Sarah Firth looks at the science behind the claims.
Can you directly influence the world around you with just the power of your mind? Although it might sound far-fetched, a leading Russian scientist believes we can do exactly that. And using a device that photographs human energy fields, he's attempting to prove it.
We are developing idea that our consciousness is an active part of our material world. And with our consciousness, we can directly influence our world.
To bridge our understanding of the unseen world of energy, scientific experiments are carried out using a technique called bioelectric photography. The assumption is that we're constantly emitting energy. Now, bioelectric photography works to capture this energy field that's seen as a light around the body, or what some people would call your aura. Discovered in the 1930s by Russian inventor Semyon Kurlian, he realized that stimulating a subject with a short electrical impulse, you get a burst of light of photons and electrons around the subject.
It looks like aura, but I don't like this word because it has some metaphysical meaning. I prefer the word energy field.
The device itself photographs each finger individually, with different fingers responsible for different parts of the body, and feeds the information into a computer to interpret. One supposed benefit of this technique is early diagnosis of serious illnesses like heart disease and cancer. But some who work in the mainstream medical profession remain unconvinced.
From the point of view of today's medicine, I don't think this can be used as medical evidence. And I would even go further and say that it's harmful rather than harmless, as it diverts people from the true causes of their illness and from the truly effective treatment.
And some of the claims in energy field research are even more far-reaching.
With our emotions, with our intentions, we can directly influence our environment, our space. Of course, this idea is absolutely new. That's why it has a lot of criticism still. It has a very important message for all of us. Because we demonstrated that positive emotions, they have very strong influence. But the same and even more strong influence has negative emotions. But in one case, energy comes up, in another case, comes down. So it means that if we are developing in ourselves ability to create love, to create positive emotions, we change space around ourselves.
The idea that our personal energy can change the structure of the world around us is viewed by many with deep skepticism. But in the sphere of bioelectric photography, work continues to find scientific proof for the theory.
After me comes the
Very powerful stuff. What more do you want?
Eternal youth. The purpose of this story. My favorite Spelling family member is probably Tori. But Aaron Spelling, her pops, he was tops. But so old, his youth was arrested and never paroled. I believe the children are the children. But I believe the adults are the children too. Bigger, older, wrinklier children. Less bendier, less friendlier. But children just the same. Just children who have lost their way and now they're kind of lame. Giant children, true they are. They used to be normal size. But now it seems that having fun is something they despise. They give me guilt trips when I supersize my fries. And they wear three pairs of glasses because they now have ish eyes. They used to be much funner, these overgrown children. Because they were younger, but because they were willing to try different things and always be chillin'. Now, their bladder's spillin'. Can they turn back the clock? Tick-tock, like a clock? Don't mock when I talk or when I tick. You're a prick. Eat my stick. Drink my quick. Pick up sticks. Chinese delivery. 40 minutes have passed, but my stomach is quivery. 40 minutes, knock knock. Who's there? Chinese. Chinese who? Chinese food. Chinese food that you order. So many damn Mexicans crossing the border. And I'm sorry, but I ordered the large mushu pork. And what are these sticks, man? I use a fork. I also thought I asked for Mongolian beef. Well, if this beef had flavor, your cook is a thief. Robbing beef of its essence. Like time does our souls. Just like Chinese food, we get worse when we're old. You can freeze us, reheat us, but we're never the same. Growing old, oldly, the culprit to blame. So don't age, it's a cage, but are you a monkey? When people grow older, they start to smell funky. See, life is full circle, much like life, or a circle. Or Germany's Chancellor Angela Merkel. You see, I believe it's in here that decides if we're young. Our hair. So if you don't have too much free of it to spare, well, it means that you're old. You're an old guy. And you can try hair plugs or you can just cry. But if you want to feel just as young as you can, then fuck younger girls. Thank you.
Now, go find the others. .com.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old internet, man, you just go on there and point and click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.